Hello, and welcome to the MRBC podcast. On today's program, we'll hear from guest evangelist Adrian Burden. The title of his message today is What the Bible Means to Me. Let's join him right now for the message.
And before I even tell you where you're going, as far as in the Bible, and before I even give you the topic, by the grace of God that Lord has laid upon my heart, I want to give you the reason kind of for this message. Kind of, it's a different of a direction that I want to do. You know, sometimes, you know, different messages may be inside of our mind and heart to exhort us to do something differently, to live differently, and obviously messages do so. But for this message in particular, I want us to change our perspective about something. You mean, by the way, by what I say that, I mean by the way that we see something. Because if we see something differently, I believe our appreciation will change as well. Does that make sense? So if my perception changes, then also my appreciation will change with it. By way of illustration, I'll tell you what I mean. I have a brother who is 9 years younger than I am. He's a pre-law major at Pensacola Christian College right now. And when I was about 8 or 9 years old, my mom was pregnant with him, and I was praying very hard for a little girl. There are two things my mom never gave me, and that was a cat and a little sister. And I was pretty upset by those two things. But, you know, one thing in particular, I was praying for this girl, praying for him to be a girl. And so my brother and I, he was rooting for a boy, I was rooting for a girl. And then my mom came and she said, you know what, today I have found out the gender of the baby via ultrasound. And so we were saying, you know, oh, this is going to be so cool. We find out the gender of the baby is. And so my mom brought us to the refrigerator, and she said, on top of the refrigerator, I have a card. Now, if I pull it off, it is blue, it's a boy, and pink, of course, it is a girl. Well, obviously, I'm rooting pink, you know, and as she pulls it off, sure enough, it is blue, and she's getting ready to have a boy, and some people are excited about that, but I wasn't. But anyway, when she said that, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, and then I put my head down. She said, but Adrian, it's okay. There's something neat, though, I want to show you. I have a video of the baby inside of my stomach. You know, you've seen an ultrasound video before, and so, but, I mean, you tell this to an 8 or 9 year old child. I mean, what is he thinking, you know? And he's going to see this little kid walking around inside of a bubble, like doing the march or something. So I'm thinking, this is going to be incredible. So we didn't have DVDs, obviously, so it was on a VHS. So we're all sitting in front of the TV. Mom pops in the VHS, and we're sitting back. And as we're sitting back and watching him, my mom is going over here, and she's going like, oh, that's precious. How cute, and different things. And I'm looking at it like, someone needs to fix a tracking. You know where those things on the other? It's just still fuzzy. I mean, what is going on? I mean, obviously, I had no clue to what was going on. And she's like pointing out, no, Adrian, this is the head, and this is the foot. I'm saying, no, Mom, that's fuzz, and that's more fuzz that you're pointing to as well. And so, but I remember, though, years down the road when I became a grown man, and my brother had a little girl. And when he had a little girl, he showed me a picture. And when I looked at that ultrasound, and obviously my perception has changed from a 9-year-old and now to an adult at this time, I look at the picture, and I look at it, and I think to myself, whoa, she has a big old nose just like her daddy does, you know? I begin to see the profile, and I can be able to make sense of it. You know what I mean? So what happened? Now, if you want to take it to the letter of law, obviously, you know, ultrasound has advanced. But pretty much, my perception totally changed, and then my appreciation in lieu of that changed as well. I want us to change our perception about something. I want us to change our thinking about the Bible. You know, I don't know exactly when in history the love lost began between God's people and the Word of God. But unfortunately today, there seems to be this disconnect of considering and the preciousness of the Word of God. You know, admit it wasn't many years ago that there wasn't Bibles, you know, here, there, and everywhere. But in fact, there was only one Bible at the time in England. It was called the Great Bible. And there would be a preacher who was educated enough to read, who would stand and read the Bible that was chained to the pulpit. And as it was chained, people would not come and stand, would not come and sit down. But actually, they would come and they would stand and listen to the Word of God being read. And in fact, some of the people that came did not even know the language that was being read because of their education level. And so many would just listen just to be in the presence of the Word of God. And they would stand for literally hours on end to hear the Word of God being read. My friend, what has happened from one point to the other? That now, unfortunately, if I go to a church and I begin to encourage people to read more than one chapter of the Bible, then suddenly I have infringed upon upon people's lives and schedules when in fact we hold the very word of God. You know, I once want to preach this very simple message I've entitled, What the Bible Means to Me. What the Bible Means to Me. And if you have your Bible, I hope you do, would you take and turn to Psalm 119? Obviously a psalm that encapsulates much of the Word of God. Practically every verse nearly has something to say about the Word of God and via thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy principles, and all these things that God has in His Word. And I just want to take us a look, and there's no way that we, for time's sake, obviously could talk about all the aspects of the Word of God, nor could a lifetime ever take and talk about all the aspects of the Word of God. But three major areas that I have seen within my own heart and in life that have been the evidence factor as far as God's help, God's Word being a help to me. Now, if you're in Psalm 119, I'm going to read one verse, verse number 11, which the Bible says this, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, as I get ready to preach, I'm going to do something. I'm going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. We're not going to pray right this second, but it's a moment. And I tell you this, why? Because I don't want you to think that, you know, you're praying just because it's the ritualistic thing you're supposed to do before you preach. You go ahead and pray, right? Well, I pray because I want to be a clean vessel before God before I try to share something with you from His word. But also, as I'm praying, I pray that you wouldn't just mindlessly listen, but actually in your heart, say, God, if there's something in my life I need to change, if I need to draw closer to you, may I do it. You know, unfortunately, there's a spirit of a complacency that has happened that we have come to church to check off a box and say, hey, God, I did my part. In fact, we need to come before God and before the service even starts to say, God, if there's it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer, and I need your help. Would you speak to me? So as I pray, would you pray in your heart as well? Father in heaven, Lord, I do love you, and I thank you so much for everything you've done. Lord, this opportunity is an opportunity I know I don't deserve, but Father, I thank you that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Lord, that you have given me this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you would help me to accurately portray that which is in your word. I pray that there be not a soul in this room who would have a question concerning what clearly has been said. Lord, I pray also as well, Lord, that if there's someone in this room who is the word of God has not changed their life, that it would do so this morning, and they would understand their need for a Savior. Lord, I pray for the Christians that sit in this room, which I believe the majority to be. Lord, I pray that we would just remove distractions from our heart and from our mind. Help us, Father, to be able to focus in on the truth that is at hand. Father, I pray you set these things off to the side. Help us to hone in upon your word. For it's in Christ's name we do pray it all. Amen. Bible says in Psalm 119, as I just read, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, the first off that I see about the word of God being is the word of God is our help for our situations in life. Unfortunately, folks, many times we sometimes fight a spiritual battle by physical means. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Adrian? You know, unfortunately now, many times we don't, instead of going to the Word of God for seeking help and counsel, we many times go to the Christian bookstore first, and then we consult the Word of God. You know, I struggle with pride, I struggle with anger, I struggle with lust, and there's nothing wrong. Good books have been written, but I tell you, a book has been written, and that is the Word of God to give us help and strength for these situations in my life. It says, thy word that I hid in my heart. And not thy this or that or this person saying. It is thy word that I put in my heart that I may not sin against thee. You see, my friend, when is the last time, church member, have we ever had a struggle with a certain sin within our life or just an area, just something that we needed victory in and that we got a concordance out and we looked it up and said, God, I need your help and your strength for this situation in my life. And we consulted the word of God and dug deep and began to study the principle of what God has to say about the matter. My friend, we cannot blame God if we cannot get victory when He has given us clearly the rule book to which we are to go by. You know, I think about men many times are given the bad rap about following directions. Are we not, gentlemen? You know, the ladies say we just throw the directions and we start putting together. Now, in some cases that is the case, but not in all cases. But I remember one this past Christmas that I was with my nephews in Indiana. And obviously my nephew's about four or five years old. And when they were bringing me the toys to put together for Christmas, you know, this was kind of the, you know, the Uncle Adrian can do anything phase of, you know, bring it on to Uncle Adrian. He'll put it together. He'll fix it. And so they gave me this Optimus Prime. Some of you probably know, if you're a parent, you definitely know of Optimus Prime and the Transformers, right? And so they gave me this Transformer and they said, hey, Uncle Adrian, can you make Optimus Prime turn into a truck? Sure, of course I can, you know. Literally, folks, I am not lying to you. Half an hour later, Optimus Prime was still not a truck. I was over there bending and stretching, trying not to break this delicate toy that had been given. And look, I actually read the directions too, and it still wasn't working out right. And I remember very clearly that a point came as I was trying to do this. What if I had done this? What if I had not consulted the instructions? And I found the customer service number, right? And I called Matchbox, Mattel, whoever makes it, right? And I call them up and I say, hey, look, now you got this Optimus Prime thing, right? Now let me tell you, now that is one dumb product you got on the market, man. The thing doesn't turn into a truck. And the lady said, well, sir, you know, have you tried this? Well, I tried everything. And I just chewed that lady out on the phone. Now, the lady might calmly respond, sir, have you looked at the directions? And I said, well, I don't care about the directions. I'm not concerned about that. Optimus Prime should turn into a truck because that's exactly what you're supposed to do, you know? Obviously, you would look at me and say, Adrian, you can't complain about the thing. I mean, you don't have a leg to stand on, man. You didn't read the directions, of course. Okay, stay with me. You know, many times we come to God. God, I can't get victory in my spiritual life. Man alive, I try and I try and I try. I try to get victory over this sin. I try to get victory over this fear that I have in my life and this, that, and the other thing. And all these storms and tempests that come about me. This is overwhelming for me. I cannot handle it. This is not working. I am giving up on God. And God looks at you and says, hey, have you read the directions? Have you even consulted me? Have you even asked? Have you sought my word? Have you studied and looked and dug? Look, I am telling you from the beginning, this is not just the textbook that we bring to church to smile on Sunday with. This is everything I have encapsulated that you need to know about me is in this book. And my friend, if you don't consult it and if I do not consult it, how on earth can we blame God if we don't have victory? I'm saying number one, my friend, the Bible is my help for whatever it is within my life. You know, a couple pages over, Psalm 130, or in Psalm 119, I know, but Psalm 130. Let's look at another verse here. Psalm 130, verse number 5. The Bible says this. I'll give you a moment to turn there. The Bible says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. First, the Bible's my help, but secondly, the Bible also is my hope. Shortly after we were here last time, which was about a year and a half or so ago, my family and I, we did a couple other meetings and different things. We do vacation Bible schools and teen camps during the summer, and we had a week off in August, and then we were going to get back on the road. And so during that week off, my wife and I obviously went to our home there in North Carolina. And as we were there on Monday, I was paying bills and doing some other things. And my wife came to me with an obvious look upon her face that something was wrong. Well, as I asked her what was going on, I came to find out that her brother, who was in Afghanistan, had been injured, and that they were taking him to Germany, and then from Germany, they were going to take him to the United States, and we were going to meet him stateside. So obviously, we began to make plans and arrangements to how we could be able to go see him and different things, and obviously, we began to pray as well, asking God that he would definitely bring Luke home safely. Well, during that time, around about 2 o'clock or so, I went to my grandmother's house. And I was at my grandmother's house. I got a call from my mother-in-law who simply said this, Adrian, we lost him. Can you please tell Tabitha? I remember then as a husband, how do you tell your wife that, you know? And obviously she could tell by the look on my face that something was definitely wrong. Well, for that next week, instead of being off, obviously, we were filled with funeral arrangements and preparing the body and doing different things, and my in-laws went up to, the Air Force Base up there to be able to see him as his casket was being brought. And as I saw his wife, and he has a wife, and he has two boys, and another one that was due that December as well, for around Christmas time. And I remember very distinctly during that whole process of that week, you know, I think about it so often that people that are unsaved, I honestly don't know how they cope. I really don't, because there's absolutely seems to be no hope. But you see, the word of God is my hope, my friend. You see, when tragedy slaps you upside the face, you are suddenly struck with the reality of whether or not this is just a Sunday thing or whether or not this is just something you do to make you feel better. You're slapped with the reality to understand that this right here, is it going to be that which you live by? Is it going to be the truth that you put your your total faith and trust upon. Is this truly your hope? Because my friend, you're going to have to make a decision and make it soon to understand that the only way that there's any hope in this world, it is inside of the pages of the Word of God. I have a hope that I shall see Luke again. My wife has a hope that she'll see her only brother again. And I submit to you, the only reason that I can have this peace, the only reason that her family can have that peace, is there within the Word of God. You see, I ask the question, how on earth can a father, who my father-in-law is a pastor, can look down and preach the funeral of his own son, and looking inside of his eyes, he preaches a message that is titled, God took him. It is God's will that this has happened. I am not mad. How on earth can a family gather together and hold hands, and even though there are much tears and much suffering and much pain inside of a heart, how can they all pray and look to heaven? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How on earth can a little boy who's around 4 or 5 years old look at every person at funeral home and point to the casket of his father and say, you know what? My daddy, he is not in there. My daddy, he is in heaven. How on earth can these things happen? The Word of God is my hope, my friend. And anybody who's been through it, and anybody that has had their nose stuck in the valley, understands that self-help, you don't want the cool preacher, you want the Word of God. You just don't want just this or just some nice little talk. You want to know that there is a hope beyond hopes, and that hope is God's Word. My friend, I'm just saying, do we cherish it like we should? You know, some people say, you know, Brother Adrian, I don't see it that way. You know, unfortunately, many times people say that, and I'm not trying to be rude, but they're looking from the outside in. You know, some people here might have been to the Grand Canyon before. I've been to the Grand Canyon on a couple of different occasions. And as I've been to the Grand Canyon on different occasions, you know, there's some times when you just look at it and it's just kind of like, it is amazing. Anybody who's been there knows it is just a breathtaking sight. And having been to Grand Canyon, for those who haven't, I can sit here and try to describe it to you. I can say, you know what, the Grand Canyon is like huge. It is like vast. It is like beautiful. You know, I could try all I can do, but you know, at the end of the day, guess what? You just got to see it, don't you? I mean, I can't describe it to you. It's not going to make sense. You've got to see to know it. And you know the same thing about the hope of God. I can sit here and try to say it's comforting, it is wonderful, it is a blessing, it is this, it is that. But at the end of the day, guess what? You just got to see it. You just got to know it. You just got to know God's arms wrapped around you and understand the truth that the Word of God is my hope. My friend, it's not only my help, but it also is my hope. You know, there's so much that can be said, but I want to talk on one more before I make one main point at the end of the sermon, which is really the crux of it all. But Psalm 119, back to 105. You take a couple pages over. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God is my help. The Word of God is my hope. But also, the Word of God is my light. It gives me direction upon my way. You know, I think there's two practical principles here. I remember when I was in college, I worked with a pastor named Chester Keith in Mobile, Alabama for 3.5 years. As working with him was eye-opening. I had never worked in an inner-city ministry before. You know, when I worked in North Carolina, doing junior church and different things, you know, I had taught on David and Goliath and different things. And, you know, practical teenagers, how to live a life of integrity and different things. Then I came here, there to Mobile, Alabama. And when I got there, I was talking about David and Goliath, and they had never even heard of David and Goliath. They never even heard of different Adam and Eve stories. I mean, nothing. And then I went to the teenage department. And again, this is just the way it was, but many of the young people were dropping off their kids in the nursery, talking about 15, 16-year-olds, dropping their kids in the nursery, and then coming and sitting inside of my class. And I thought, well, we were going to talk about purity and different things, but it was just kind of like mind-blowing. Then I got to the adult section, and when I was there, I was with the pastor, and the pastor was letting me know, there's this young girl who came, and she was 24, and God knows the story, but she was a grandmother at 24 years old. It was just absolutely appalling. appalling to me, the things I witnessed through that ministry. Well, I was there and I was working with him side by side. Ever have a question that's so deep on your heart that, you know, it was just kind of just coming out your ears? And so I remember I was sitting with him, and as I was with him, I was having a conversation. I said, Pastor Keith, now, aside from the Bible, aside from things godly, aside from all the things, how on earth can a person think that this is okay? That this is the way to go? That this is the way to live? You know, when he told me this, I never forgot it. He said, Adrian, they are blind. It seems so elementary, but Adrian, they're blind. Okay, we know right and wrong, do we not? We know if we cross the line, if we do wrong, we know there's consequences, you know? I mean, we know thou shalt not steal. I mean, we know that what you sow, you shall reap. We understand these principles. Well, I submit to you, how do you know these principles? The Word of God. And you see, when there's an absence of the Word of God, there is an absence of light, is there not? And then a person does whatever. You know, I think about it that the Word of God is our light and concerning as far as showing us right and wrong, but it's our light that gives us direction as well. You know, as far as just simple decisions, quote unquote, that we make in our life. You know, when I was in college and I graduated, I thought to myself, whew, this is great. No more big decisions to make in my life. Obviously, every adult in this room says, what a joke, right? There's decisions on every turn. I mean, do I take this job? Do I not? Do I pursue this career? Do I buy this house? Do I not do that? You know, there's decisions everywhere that we must make. And you know, Word of God is our light. So let's go ahead and be extremely, disgustingly practical about it and just ask us a question, you know? Hey, Dad, did we pray about it before we took that job? Did we consult the Word of God about it? Hey, before we bought that car, did we even consider asking the Lord and praying about it and seeking His face before we made such a purchase? I'm just saying, the Word of God is just not to tell us whether or not we should stop sinning. It is for every single area that we have in our life. It gives us clear direction there. I'm just saying, you know, also the Word of God gives us light to show us where we are. You know, you could be sitting inside this room and you're not for sure. This question that I'm about to ask kind of is going to kind of rattle your cage. And that is, if you drop dead, would you know for sure you're going to heaven? That is not a question that is meant just to rattle you. That is a question that you must come to the reality and understand that there is an answer to that question. And you must come to grips with that question and understand that the answer to that question lies within the Word of God. And I do pray that the Word of God can take its light and the flashlight can shine down inside of your heart to show you indeed that you are a sinner, that you are a sinner before God, and that you need a Savior, and you've got to trust in Jesus Christ, and He died and was buried and was rose again for the salvation of your soul. The light of the Word of God is going to make the difference in your life, even concerning your eternal destiny. My friend, have we lost it of where we came from concerning the Word of God? When you read for the first time that you could go to heaven, you could have victory. And now after we got our, you know, I always think about, we treat it like a GPS. As soon as we get there, turn it off. As soon as I got what I need, as soon as I got my peace and I'm on my way to heaven, well, that was good. Let's set it over here. See, the Word of God is my light. Let me give you an illustration. Sum this up, make sense of this all, okay? Some people say, Brother Adrian, I've tried reading the Word of God. I've tried and tried and seemed like every time I try to read the Word of God, I quit, I fail, and then I get back on doing it again. Well, besides just saying join the club, because so many people struggle with that, I also will say this. You know, some people say, all right, Brother Adrian, here I am. I'm going to read. I'm just going to pick a chapter in the Bible. Let's just say right here in Hosea. Yeah, we're going to read Monday morning. Here we are. Hosea chapter number 4. Ready? Hear the word, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and they blood toucheth blood. Yeah, Brother Adrian, that's showing me where I should go to college right there, you know. That's showing me whether or not I should buy that truck right there. Did you just see that? Did you read that, you know? And now, you know, obviously most of us think it, so let's not go ahead and say it, you know what I mean? It's like, Brother Adrian, I don't see the direction that sometimes you say about finding in the Word of God. Okay, let me ask you a question. You know, in lieu of that thought, let's think about this. Let me ask you. Today is Sunday, obviously. Who remembers what they ate 2 weeks and 2 days ago from today? 2 weeks and 2 days ago from today. That would be a Friday. 2 weeks and 2 days ago from today. I'm scanning. It's fine. You're not going to remember my illustration if you raise your hand. Actually, I want you to raise your hand. Say, Brother Andrew, I know. Oh, someone knows. Would you mind telling us? Cereal. Yeah, it's cereal. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Rudy's Hot Dogs. You like Rudy's Hot Dogs? She loves Rudy's Hot Dogs. How about that? Anybody else? This is perfect, actually. I see someone's hand. That Sam back there in the back? That Sam? Pizza! Yeah, he remembers that. All right, you tell me three people. Three people. Remember what they ate? 2 weeks, 3 days ago. My soul. Well, folks, well, good night. You don't remember what you ate? For crying out loud, we should just fast every Friday. Why not? Get some spiritual good out of it, you know? You're not going to remember it anyway. So let's just go ahead and forget about it. Let's not eat on Fridays. Anybody for that, you know? Everybody's like, yeah, right, go ahead. Have fun. Why? I mean, okay, Adrian, just because I don't remember it doesn't mean it wasn't good or wasn't important or anything like that. Okay. Let me bring another thing. Now, there are some meals that are great. You had Rudy's Hot Dogs. She loves Rudy's Hot Dogs, right? She enjoys it. You know, one of my wife's favorite restaurants is P.F. Chang's. And we just found out y'all had a P.F. Chang's in this area, actually. And my wife, you know, she really likes it. I like it, you know. It's all right, you know. And as I remember paying for P.F. Chang's because that's very much ingrained in my mind. So, I mean, when I think about Applebee's, I think of 2 for $20, $20, you're done. 2 for $40, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, it's like, we enjoy it, right? Yeah, we enjoy it. But anyway, P.F. Chang's, with being P.F. Chang's or whatever, there's meals that we remember because my wife was. I mean, she got the orange chicken or whatever it was, and man alive, was it good. And so I remember certain things. I remember my wife one time, I think it was like a chicken, there's a hash brown casserole they make at the Cracker Barrel. My wife found a recipe on Pinterest the other day, and she made it. And glory to God, that changed my life. You know what I mean? I mean, it was wonderful. Now there are some things very distinctly that I remember because, man alive, it was good. But guess what? That does not change the effectiveness of a Pop-Tart. You know what I mean? That does not change the importance of cereal. That does not change just because I don't remember it and I just think about it. Man, that Pop-Tart was amazing. Just because I don't think about it, try going without your Pop-Tart in the morning. Try going without that oatmeal in the morning. You say, Adrian, what is your point? A point is this. You know, there are times we read the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you. If you said, Brother Adrian, what did you read 1 week ago from today? Let me be honest with you. I don't know. I mean, I could think of something, you know, whatever. I could look at my Bible reading schedule and tell you what I read a week ago. But let me be honest with you. I don't know. And guess what? It doesn't really bother me. Do you know why? Because it sustained me. You get that? It continued to help me grow spiritually. Now, there are days that, yeah, I get a good, I mean, good grief. I was reading, I think it was in Romans chapter 8 a couple days ago, and this is just really what I'm reading, as Romans chapter 8 about there is doubt, there is therefore now no condemnation, about how important it is that Christ says, look, after you are saved, there is no condemnation to them that are Christ Jesus. So, yes, there are days that are P.F. Chang's, man. They're Rudy's Hot Dogs, amen. They're hash brown casserole. But guess what? Every day ain't P.F. Chang's. Every day is not Rudy's. You say, I don't understand. I'm just saying, you know, some days, you know, it's oatmeal. You know, you read it. It sustains you. Is it less important? No, sir. It continues to keep you going because honestly, if we think about it, what are you doing with God when you're reading the Bible? You are spending time with your God. How is that less profitable? How is that not helpful to your spiritual life? I'm just saying that people get so caught up. Well, I stopped reading my Bible because I stopped getting such and such out of it. You know, people think they're going to dive in it for one day and then they're going to get all the results they need. That's like going on some massive diet for one day and thinking, oh, I didn't lose that all that weight. I mean, you got to be consistent, man. There got to be things that you continually got to make a part of your life. And that is the Word of God. So, I really want to help just in a practical sense from that, but let me read to you the rest of the points that I have that I will not be preaching, is that Bible is my help, the Bible is my hope, the Bible is my light, the Bible is my delight, the Bible is truth, the Bible is my peace, the Bible is my comfort. Now I'm going to substitute another word for Bible, and then we'll be getting ready to call it a day. Jesus is my help, Jesus is my hope, Jesus is my light, and Jesus is my delight. Jesus is truth, Jesus is my peace, and Jesus is my comfort. This message for this one phrase. Are you ready? If you don't love the Word of God,
you don't love God. It's how it is. How you feel about the Word of God is how you feel about God. So let's go ahead and put it where we live. So as soon as I get into my vehicle, I place underneath the passenger seat so I don't lose it come next Sunday. That is exactly how I feel about God. If as soon as I walk into my house and I set it up on that top dresser so the kids don't fiddle around with it and I can find it come some Wednesday night, is exactly how I feel about my God. I'm just saying, I know it doesn't sound great going down, but listen to me, it is something that we must understand, because we can hear it, sit here all day, sing praises to his name. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his voice. I mean, we can do it all day long, but when the chips are down, and at the end of the day, the bottom line is how much do you love the Word of God and cherish it? You know, many places I go somewhere, people say, Brother Adrian, what do you think about this? They got this new movement going on with these young people. They got this new movement going on with these. What do you think about those, Brother Adrian? You know what? I don't give you a plumb nickel for one of a bunch of people running around praising God and their Bible sitting underneath a pew in front of them. Do you know why? Because I don't believe there's anything that happens of any eternal value that happens outside of this book right here. And I wouldn't give you a plumb nickel for a preacher who's going to get up and talk about this, that, and the other thing and not talk about the Word of God. Because understand this, the Word of God is paramount in the Christian's life. And to the point we come where we cherish this and love it like Christ loves it, my friend, we will come to the point of loving our God like we should. You know, I was telling the older group, the group before, look, I'm finding out that the older I get, I'm finding out that I am really just an old fogey wrapped up in a young body. I really am. Because you know what? I simply just don't budge on it. I don't think it's anything that's up for debate. I think of the Word of God has to be paramount in a Christian's life, period. And so let me ask you a question in conclusion. If Pastor Merrick came and said, Adrian, I want you to come preach at Mount Clover Road, and I want you to preach on the most basic thing that you can think of, the basic building block of the Christian's life. He didn't tell me that, but what if he did? I think it would be loving God. I mean, how much more basic do we get? You know? I think about this. Let me pose this question that's, in light of this message. Mount Clover Road, do you love God? Amen. Do you? Evidence by this morning, or evidence by what you do before you go to bed. Do you love your God?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.montclovabaptist.org.